And man, that scripture reading is coming from Psalms 23. And man, those, I believe Sister Sonia's class is staying in. Amen. Scripture reading is in Psalms, and I'm reading from the King James Version. You know, one thing I'm going to tell you is that you can get a lot out of a particular verse and chapter. Man, you can stay there for a while. Amen. If you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. We'll begin reading. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in pastures. He leadeth me besides the still water. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen. And a dog will bark and growl and show his teeth to make you get back. And a lion will roar, and a rattlesnake will shake his rattle. A cat will arch his back and hiss. And the best a sheep can do is just say bah. I don't think a lion is going to be intimidated by that sound or any other animal. But if you ever notice, no one relies on a sheep to guard their property. A sheep is not a survivor. They are entirely dependent upon a shepherd. They're not strong. Their independence depends on a shepherd. So when Isaiah says that we all like sheep and have gone astray, sometimes a sheep would eat and eat, and then all of a sudden the sheep has gone astray. The sheep will wander off. A sheep does not know how to find their way back home. A dog can find his way back. A horse can find his way back. But a bird can find his way back, but a sheep can't find his way back unless the shepherd goes after it and bring it back home. That's the only way a sheep can find their way back, is if the shepherd goes after it. So sheep can't make it without a shepherd. You need to know that. See, we live in a society where tending sheep is not your ordinary occupation. When we read Psalms 23, we don't think of David shepherding his sheep about 3,000 years ago. This scripture applies to us personally. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." None of us know a shepherd or familiar with what a shepherd's life is really like. And so I think that we have the tendency to lose a little bit of the meaning that David intended when he wrote these particular words. David himself was a shepherd. He was known as the shepherd king of Israel. David saw the God of Israel as his shepherd. He speaks in this Psalms as if he was one of the sheep. David is literally saying, when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, what David is really saying, he says, look who my shepherd is, my owner is, my leader is, it's the Lord. That's what David is saying here in Psalms. David knew from firsthand experience the life of any particular sheep depends on the type of person who owns it. All right. David knew that much. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. God chose us. He bought us. He calls us by name. God makes us his own, and he delights in taking care of us. David continues to say, "By I shall not want." The idea here is that the Lord supplies our every need. Sheep, obviously, cannot voice their own needs. The shepherd naturally knows the needs of each and every animal in the flock. The Bible says that we don't have to pray these lengthy prayers, as I've told you before, like heathens do, because God, our creator, is aware and of our needs, and even before we even ask for it, God already knows our needs. Remember, the Lord supplies every need, but not every want. I have to pause there for a moment. Because, see, we want something and we expect God to supply that want. God supplies your every need, not your every want. There's a difference. As Paul told the Philippians, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The word of God lines up with itself. It doesn't matter if you read it in the Old Testament, or if you read it in the New Testament, it's going to line up with God's word. No matter who the author is God. The disciples or some of the men that God used wrote it, but guess what? They were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is why it all comes together. The same one who sustained the children of Israel, the one who fed Elijah by the brook, the one who provided the needs of the disciple, is the same one who can provide our physical and our spiritual needs. So let me tell you what a good shepherd is like. He loves his sheep. For a shepherd, there is no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction than seeing his sheep contented, well-fed, safe, and flourishing in his care. That's what his life is all about, and he gives everything he has to it. A shepherd goes to a great deal of trouble to provide them with the finest grazing and enough food in the winter to be able to make it. He provides shelter from the storm, protection from the enemies and the disease of parasites in which sheep are susceptible to. From early dawn till late at night, a shepherd is alert of the welfare of his flock. A shepherd is in tune and ready to take action if he needs to. He examines the sheep to see if they are fit and content and able to be on their feet. He watches over his flock. All right. Throughout the day, he looks over his flock. He's making sure that everything is all right. Even at night, ready to come to their need in the time of trouble. I'm trying to build a case here to get you to understand why the Lord has labeled us as sheep. And he is the shepherd. When it says that he maketh me to lie down in green pasture, he leadeth me beside the still waters. As I said last Sunday, it's not easy to get a sheep to lie down. You have to make sure that you have satisfied all of the requirements in order to get a sheep to lie down. Now, y'all know I don't know nothing about no shepherd. Being in no fields. This took research and study. Now I know what the prophet, when Darrell was up here, when he said, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Y'all looking at me. No, I am no shepherd boy. Born and raised in East St. Louis and a little bit of Centerville in me. Know nothing about shepherding. But I read the word of God and it teach me about shepherding. So the shepherd, you got to fulfill the requirements. They must be free from all fear. They must be no tension between the members of the flock. Isn't that something? They must not be aggravated by flies. Y'all know a fly can aggravate you. Let's have a picnic and watch the flies just come. I mean, just aggravating you. You know, you just flying. You're trying to get this fly away from you, just aggravating you. And they must be free from hunger. The shepherd must see to it that his flock is free from all this disturbance. Sheep are very easily frightened. Just like some of us, all you got to do is just go in another room and let them walk in there and you can scare somebody. We're easily frightened. And folks will make a new wall if you don't watch it, trying to get up out of there. We are easily frightened. I mean, sheep can be distracted, can be frightened by a stray a rabbit that's coming out of a bush. And next thing you know, if one sheep takes off running, all the rest of the sheep is going to run with it, not knowing what they're running from. As a matter of fact, that we do the same thing, don't we? Let somebody in here take off running and they're going down the road. We ain't going to ask no questions. We're going to start running with them and catch up and pass them. You pass me, I'm going to trip you. Somebody got to live to tell the story. And I want that survivor to be me. I'm just saying. You try to outrun me if you want to, but we have to understand that sheep, that's why the Lord said, we are like sheep. They just take off running. Where you going? Little rabbit jumped out of the bush. Some of us, somebody jump out of a closet. We ready to run. Don't worry, I'll be ready to run too. We can talk tough behind the mic, but let the truth be told. Catch me in a bad situation. I'll take off running too. The mic make you tough when you're up here, but reality is, let somebody jump out after you take off running. Hope your wife and kids can run too. Like sheep, we are easily frightened, just like sheep. We are easily frightened. We live in an uncertain life. We live an uncertain life, and any hour can bring any type of bad news or disaster to us. And it's the unknown, the unexpected that frightens us. But nothing quiets our soul like knowing that a shepherd is near. All right. When I believe when a shepherd is near, you have sheep. They're not frightened by much of anything because they can see the shepherd who will protect them from any danger seen or unseen danger. That's the way the Lord is with us. When we are in the presence of the Lord, that's why David said, "I know you are with me, even in the valley. I know you're with me." So you have to know that your Lord is with you no matter where you find yourself. And you got to believe that. Sometimes you got to let stuff marinate. You can read the Bible in a year, but I want you to study the Bible in a year because you need some stuff in this Bible to marinate on your soul. Our Lord is with us. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. In every society, there is in an establishment order of dominance or statue. I believe with the chickens it's got to be with the pecking. There's a pecking order. In other words, if I'm pecking over here, don't you come peck. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not a farm boy, but I'm not like, you know, Brother Moore and, you know, Brother Pittman, you know, senior. I wasn't raised like that. But I understand that there's got to be some pecking order. Don't come peck in my pecking area. This is where I do the pecking. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You don't come peck over here. Go someplace else and peck. Why peck on you? There's some type of order, what I'm saying, in the animal kingdom. Among sheep is called the budding order. Sheep maintain their status by budding and driving away the other sheep from their favorite grazing spot. Y'all know how it is. Oh, let me bring it home to you, because some of y'all are like, well, I don't know what you, I'm not following you quite. Okay, let me say it to you this way. When you come to church, you have a favorite seat. Let somebody sit in your favorite seat. It's called a budding. You would have an attitude, or in some churches you go to, especially them old school churches, they'll stand over you. Y'all think I'm playing? Oh, yeah. You sitting there, and they standing there. Yeah, some say you don't know that sister or brother so-and-so seat, and they want it. So either you slide over, or they going to stand there and look at the top of your head. And before you know it, they may scoot you over. Y'all don't think that's happening in the church? That's real. This is what's going on inside of the sheepfold. Don't come over here in my area. Go on somewhere. This is my place. This is where I'm grazing. You go over there. Same thing. This is why the Lord said you are like sheep. Our attitude and our personality is just like them. When there is tension in the flock, tension in the church, the sheep can't lie down and rest. Some of us can't rest because there's tension. Stuff going on in our lives. So they must always stand and be ready to run. And some of us be ready to run. There's a slight of noise we hear. What? Whoa. What you looking at? What you hear? What you hear? What you hear? We ready to run. Get our shoes all tied up, laced up. Some of them run barefoot. I never was a person that ran barefoot, but there's some folks who was in East St. Louis. I'm going to tell you, they took the shoes off and ran. But whenever the shepherd is around, listen to what I'm saying. All the confusion, all of that goes away. Because the focus is now on the shepherd. Y'all follow me? When you come into the house of prayer, all that confusion, all that stuff that you was going through, all that mess that's going on, it goes away because now your mind is on the Lord. You're not thinking about what somebody just did to you. You're thinking about the Lord. You're thinking about his goodness. You're thinking about his grace. And you're thinking about his mercy. You're thinking about what he's done for you. Not what the person just did to you, but you're thinking about what the Lord is doing for you. There is a struggle also in our society. Most of us fight to be the top sheep. We quarrel, we do all that kind of stuff just to get ahead. But it's impossible to relax when you're butting heads with somebody else. Sheep will not rest when they're bothered or aggravated of insects and parasites. The shepherd must provide them with some relief. A sheep will not rest until they are free from hunger. And hunger, hungry sheep will not always stand on their feet. I'm sorry, they will stand on their feet always because they're searching and looking for food. The only time they will lay down is when everything is all right. And see, we think about sheep grazing. We need to understand this, that when a shepherd was tending the flock, it wasn't always easy to find green pasture. All right. Just think about our summer here. You got folks watering their lawn. Why? Because the grass is burned up. So it wasn't always easy for a shepherd to find green pastures for the sheep. But when a sheep had eaten enough, when it was free from the fear and the tension and aggravation of all other and all their needs was met, it will lie down in green pasture. Jesus Christ, our shepherd, provides us with the spiritual food we need. If we are hungry and thirst after righteousness, Jesus has promised to fill us with all of our needs. All of our needs are met in Jesus Christ. That's why he can make you lie down in green pastures. And he can lead you beside the still waters. Sheep also need water to survive. They will not drink from noisy water. There's some picky sheeps. You got a lot to do to manage some sheeps. There's a lot of work and required into managing these sheeps. They require a steady still water. That's what they require. Jesus made it clear that the thirsty souls of men and women can only be fully satisfied by coming to him. In John, he stated, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." Our shepherd leads us besides the still waters. And then it also says in the scripture in Psalms that he restored my soul. She sometimes turn over on his back. And it's amazing that they can't get back up. So they can, like that commercial, "I'm falling and I can't get up." They fit that commercial. It happens frequently with sheep. And when it happens, all the sheep can do is really just lie on his back and just kick. Kick, kick. If the shepherd doesn't arrive soon, the sheep will die. That's one of the reasons why a shepherd is always looking over his flock, counting them to see if they are on their feet. Listen to that. Listen to that for a moment. Can't go too fast. Shepherd wants always counting their sheep because he wants to see if they're on their feet. That's what a good shepherd does. Because, you know, if one is missing, he thinks one of my sheep is belly up. And I've got to find that sheep. This is the thought behind the parable of the 99 sheep and the one that went astray. Many times a shepherd would search for hours for a single sheep, only to find it on his back, lying helplessly. He would turn the sheep over on his side, rub his legs to restore circulation, then lift it to his feet. After a while, the sheep will stumble and stagger, and then eventually walk steady. That's probably what David had in mind when he said, "He restoreth my soul." Because that's how the Lord treats us. When we stumble and fall, we become so helpless. And yet our shepherd is patient and tender and helpful in getting us back on our feet. The kindness Jesus showed towards sinners, how Jesus restored Peter's heart after his denial, that's why David said he restored my soul. And the same thing that Jesus did for Peter, in other words, he gave Peter some nourishment where he kind of gave Peter some tender, loving care to get Peter back on his feet after he denied him. That's the Lord we serve. Peter denied him. He was on his back. The Lord came, restored Peter to his feet. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. If sheep are left to themselves, they will continue to graze the same hills until they turn it into a desert. They will gnaw the grass. They will gnaw it. They will gnaw it. They will gnaw it until the roots are damaged. All right. They need a shepherd who will lead them to good grazing areas. All right. We are like sheep. And as humans, we prefer to follow our own fantasies and turn to our own ways. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's what Isaiah said in 53rd chapter. And so we need a shepherd who can lead us in paths of righteousness. And our Lord does just that. Notice that our shepherd is not a driver, but a leader. He doesn't stand behind us with a stick saying, "Go on and do that." But he leads us. That's why a lot of managers on jobs are not successful. It's because they try to manage people. All right. You can't manage people. You have to lead people. All right. And if you're not leading them, they're not going to follow you. All right. That's why you have resistance on the job. We are designed to be led, not managed. You manage materials. You manage storage room, machines, but you don't manage people. You lead people. Nowhere in the Bible will you find where God managed the people. Every time you read anything pertaining to the Lord, it's always talking about he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. It didn't say he managed the children of Israel out of Egypt. It said he led them out. In other words, he was in front leading. Because why? Because we have a tendency to get off track. And when we get off track, we need to see what's ahead of us to put us back on track. And notice the reason why we are leaving Egypt. There's a big difference. Because we need to know what's ahead of us. Need folks standing around managing us?
That's why folks don't perform well on the job. You got micromanagers. We don't need a helicopter boss. We need somebody that's going to lead. So, well, as I said last Sunday, there are going to be some valleys. I like how David said, yay, though. And even in some of the other Bibles, it has even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yeah. So there are going to be some valleys in your life. Yeah. But remember, just remember what I said last Sunday, that when you're on the mountaintop, there's going to be a time where you're going to have to go down the mountain. So you're either going into a valley, or you're already in one, or you're coming out. But just know that if you have a valley experience, that there is a mountaintop ready for you. Now, I will say that some valleys are deep. Some are not so deep. But the point that you need to understand that there is some valleys coming ahead for you. But don't worry if you're in the valley, because that's where you grow. Not much grows on the mountaintop. But down in the valley is where things grow. I believe that if the disciples could have grew on the mountaintop, the Lord would have granted Peter's request and said, yeah, let's make some tents and let's stay here, because it's a lot better on this mountaintop. Now the Lord said, we ain't making no tent. It's time to go down this mountain. I'm preparing you for what's getting ready to come ahead. So in other words, when you're on your mountaintop, get your mountaintop experience, get your inside revelation from the Lord, and then get your behind back down the mountain. And do what the Lord said for you to do.
Make sure you edit that for my children.
David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The Bible clearly states that death is Satan's weapon. The last enemy to be defeated. But David said, even though.
You got to have an attitude. I bet you had an attitude when he wrote, even though.
Even though, y'all know how when a musician get into it, when they playing, they just make a face. You think they mad? No, they ain't mad. They into it. You just get down into it. I remember when I was playing the guitar. Man, I was trying to do it, man. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, I want to say this. Now, not only is that a promise of peace and protection while we are alive, it's also a promise that at the moment Satan is doing his worst to you is death. So while Satan is doing his work to you is death, you have to have this in mind, that while Satan is preparing, is got death as his weapon that he uses, and that's the final enemy, keep this in mind, that when Satan is bringing upon death, God is preparing a place for you. You have to remember that. So when you pause to think about what to be thankful for, thank God that in the face of death, that the good shepherd promises protection from the evil one. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we walk with Christ or we walk alone. You can't walk this valley with your wife or with your husband or with your business partner or with your friend. You either walk it with the Lord or you walk it by yourself. Y'all need to understand it. That's why you need Jesus. We can't take our friends or our relatives. You walk with Jesus Christ or you walk alone. This is talking spiritual.
Now, granted, we could all hold hands and walk together. That's in the natural. But in the spiritual, you got to walk it with Christ. Thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. When a shepherd is in the fields with his flock, he carries little with him. Most of the time, all they got is a rod with them, with a hook. And some of the shepherds, they may have a rifle with them. But what I'm saying is that the rod and the staff, it comfort me. The rod is to either get the sheep in line, or is to save them. Y'all follow me? The rod. That's why the Bible says, spare not the rod. The rod could be used in a number of ways. Now, let me tell you a couple of ways. One, as far as us, the rod can be used to hold your pants up. Or it could be used to discipline. The same as with this rod with the shepherd. It could be used to save them, or it could be used for discipline. The rod is kind of like a club where the shepherd learned from the childhood how to throw it if necessary. Amen. You got to get your aim right. You want to throw something. If you aim in here, you don't want it to go over there. Amen. You got to get your aim right at an early age. So your accuracy can be right. You don't want to hit the wrong person and knock them out, and they supposed to be helping you. You done lost your help. You by yourself now because you didn't learn at an early age how to throw. I ain't talking about nobody here this morning. God is our shepherd. His rod comfort us. The Bible says that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now we talking about sheep. I ain't never seen a sheep at a table. You never seen a sheep at a table. The high plateaus of sheep pastures are called mesas, which is Spanish for table. David probably means the pasture land has been prepared. Our Lord takes care of us in the presence of our enemy. He's gone ahead and checked things out. He's already been tempted in all points like we are. He has known our sorrows and endured our struggles in order to help us through. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. The shepherd oftentimes will go ahead of the sheep to prepare a place. The same as what the Lord has done for us. He knows everything about what we're going through and what our struggles. Y'all ever seen folks that act like you ain't never been through nothing? Y'all like you ain't never gone through anything? When something happens to them, say, oh, no, this is, no, you just don't understand. Oh, I don't understand what? Problems? I don't understand trouble? I don't understand heartache? I don't understand disappointment? What else do you have? People act like you ain't never gone through nothing. Let me tell you something. In order for me to stand up here before you, I had to go through something. In order for a nurse to do a bedside care, she had to go through something. In order for a musician to be able to sit on that piano or that organ, they had to go through something. You mean to tell me that nobody has gone through anything but you? That's amazing to me. Nobody understands. Nobody's gone through nothing. Well, come on now. Get in line. We've gone through something as well. So has the Lord Jesus Christ. He was tempted by Satan himself. So much so that when Satan got done tempting him, the angels from heaven had to come and minister to him. You don't think he was hungry? You don't think he was ready to eat? You don't think he wanted to show Satan who is boss right now? Or I can do all those things and more? You don't think he wanted to show out? He had to contain himself because the time was not at hand. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Did you know that sheep actually face various enemies?
Now, we all know about the wolves, and we all know about the lions, and we all know about the bears. But sometimes that's those little bitty things that irritate us. Little bitty things. Sheep have actually faced various enemies, many wild animals. Now, this is something David knew firsthand because he was a young shepherd boy. He worked as a shepherd, and so I'm sure he had opportunities and instances when he perhaps had to kill a wild animal like a bear and a lion. He had to do that at some point in time. And so, but you see, sheep face other enemies that we don't think too much about because these enemies are so small. These creatures can make a sheep's life very miserable. A particular problem sheep have is insects, flies, mosquitoes, and gnats. Sheep are especially bothered by the nose fly. These flies buzz around the sheep's head trying to deposit eggs on the damp nose of the sheep. If they are successful, these eggs will hatch to form small worms inside of their nose. They crawl up the sheep's nose and cause a great deal of aggravation. They work their way up the sheep's nasal passage and into the sheep's head. It causes severe irritation to the sheep, and for relief from the pain, the sheep will often beat their head against a tree or rub their heads on a rock. This, as you can see, can be very painful to the animal and could probably also kill the animal. So at the beginning of fly season, when the shepherd begins to see signs of these tiny enemies, he will begin to apply an antidote to the sheep's head. This antidote is made up of several ingredients. Many times, it's olive oil. So let me just say it this way. We read the scriptures and he said, he anointed my head with oil. So we just look at that and say, he anointed my head with oil. We read it and just keep going like it's nothing. Okay, he anointed my head with oil. But David is trying to tell you something here from his childhood. He's trying to get you to understand what a shepherd is trying to do to you. He's trying to tell you that a shepherd anoints the sheep's head with oil. What he's trying to do is apply the antidote to what the enemy is trying to do to the sheep. The sheep, what you don't understand is that the insect, the small enemy is trying to get inside of your mind. The enemy is constantly trying to mess with your mind. The same way that Satan was messing with Eve's mind. Had the Lord said this? You got to know for yourself what the Lord has said. So what the small enemy is trying to do with the sheep is trying to get inside of the sheep's mind. Trying to mess with the sheep's mind, make it go crazy. Bang your head over here. Bang your head over there until you knock yourself out and kill yourself. But see, when the shepherd knows when the fly season comes, the shepherd knows to go and get the olive oil. To place the olive oil on top of the sheep's head. To apply the antidote to the sheep. And that antidote will cure the sheep from any type of irritation. Any type of enemy that will come upon the sheep. So the next time you read it, don't just read it like, okay, David applied anointing on the head. No, it ain't like that. David is trying to tell you something. The Lord wants to anoint your head. The Lord wants to cure you. He wants to deliver you. So stop reading that passage like it's just some of these little fairy tale Jake and Jane books. David is trying to tell you what I did to cure the sheep from the enemy. Y'all know how irritating flies and gnats and mosquitoes can be. I remember being in my uncle's house in Mississippi. Man, there was one gnat, but four of us was in the room. Man, I was so mad. That one little mosquito, one little mosquito tore us up that night. Man, I said, I called myself, I'm going to pull the cover over. Didn't realize I pulled it over the enemy, too. And he was underneath the man. I was like, oh, Lord have mercy. When I got up in the morning, I was looking for him. You gave me a sleepless night. I couldn't sleep. I said, Ricky, did it get you? He said, yeah, he got me too. I said, Mike, did it get you? Yeah, man, got me too. One mosquito caused fits in one room. So David, anointed the sheep's head with oil. He's trying to tell you that the Lord wants to anoint your head. Satan is doing the same thing, trying to get inside your mind. That is why we need a shepherd. That's why the Lord said we are like sheep. In other words, God said if you're like sheep, then sheep need a shepherd. So I'm trying to tell you this morning that if we are like sheep, then you need a shepherd. That's why you need to make it personal. And that's why David made it personal in Psalms 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, let me say this. Really, back then, you have to understand something, too. That's why I said you can't read it. You got to study it. Back then, you didn't really call God a shepherd. You call him Jehovah. You follow what I'm saying? You had to step out there to say shepherd. You want to, hold up, that was the Lord's occupation that was around. You don't dare call the Lord shepherd. But David said, hold up now, you need to understand what I'm saying. I'm writing the Psalms here. I'm trying to tell you what the Lord has done for me. And I'm visualizing the Lord as a shepherd, as I visualize myself being a shepherd taking over the flock. God wants to anoint your head with oil. On the day of Pentecost, we were anointed with the Holy Spirit. Came like a mighty rushing wind. The good shepherd was anointing their heads with oil with the Holy Spirit. They couldn't contain themselves. They were filled with a new power. Their cups began to overflow. The blessing of God on their lives began to overflow to others and bless others. Y'all know that God wants to give you an overflow. God wants to anoint our heads today because the enemy has been playing with our minds. In other words, we need to tell, you know how the flies, you know how they buzz around your ear too? In the summertime, all you got to do is watch my wife. In the summertime, you see her doing this. Stuff just buzzing around you. Insects just flying around you. And so sometimes you got to tell it, buzz off. That's what you got to tell us. That's what you got to tell Satan. Buzz off. Flying around you. In the case of David, the oil that he is talking about is the precious Holy Spirit. Yeah. It is the precious Holy Spirit, the oil that the Lord wants to anoint your head. See, the Lord desires to be our shepherd. He wants to bless us. He wants to care for us. So that's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And when I thought about that, you know, I thought about my grandfather. He'll preach on one word. He'll take that my and the Lord is my shepherd, and he'll preach on that. So I thought about that for a moment as I was studying. I said, what is the difference? What a difference that little word my makes. Psalms 23 is very personal. There are no reference to we, us, they, but only my. And me and I and you.
This is David's testimony, his personal testimony, and we thank God for it. So what I'm saying to you this morning, is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord, if the Lord is not your shepherd, then you need to accept him today. Come on, officer, as the doors of the church are being opened, you need to accept him today as your shepherd. Because I'm going to tell you, you can't make it without him. You can't make it without him. You need the Lord. We are no match for the enemy. We are no match. The sheep are no match for the wolf. They're no match for the lion. They're no match for the bear. But as long as the shepherd is around, that bear is in trouble. That lion is in trouble. That wolf is in trouble. So you need a shepherd. If you expect to make it, you need a shepherd. We are no match for Satan by ourselves. No matter what we do, we're no match for him if we try to do it on our own. But man, if we accept Christ as our personal Savior, if we allow the Lord to come into our lives, if we just hold up our hands and surrender all to the Lord, you need to understand something, that God will fight your battles. All you got to do is stand still and see the salvation of God. And watch the Lord do it for you. I don't care if it's on your job. If you got the Lord on your side, watch God show up and show out on your job. I don't care how dignified or how they may say that you got to be professional. Let the Lord show up. We serve a risen Savior. We're the only religion that claims a risen Savior. Is the Lord your shepherd? I know he's mine. As I said, I won't question. I won't question whether or not he's yours. But I can tell you right now, he's mine. David made it personal. My shepherd. Amen.